Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and we do appreciate you listening in today. We want to take just a moment to tell you about the church and invite you, if you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just off of Highway 105 South, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And Sunday morning, 10 a.m., we have Sunday school for all ages. And then 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service. Wednesday nights at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And that's every week except this week, because of Christmas, we are moving our Wednesday night service to Tuesday night. So we'll be meeting on Tuesday night tonight at 7 p.m. We'd love for you to come out. We had some calls already this week, people visiting in town wondering if we were having a Christmas Eve service. Well, we're going to have it Tuesday night. But anyway, we'd love for you to come out and be with us. It is a blessing to be here at the radio studio today. And we want to begin by wishing everyone a very Merry Christmas. It's good to have Noah here as well. I'll wish him a Merry Christmas. How are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here. Merry Christmas to you. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners, how much we appreciate them. Those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners. Are you all ready for Christmas, Noah?
I am.
You are?
For once, I have all my gifts, all my preparations ready.
Do you have something good for me?
I don't know. We'll see.
Just have to wait and see?
Yep.
You could ask me the same thing.
I could.
Yes. Okay. Well, anyway, we do want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And we're going to continue on with our subject that we've been looking at for the past several months now. Since the beginning of the month of August, we have been looking at Heroes of Liberty. Well, this is Christmas week, and this is going to be a special Christmas edition of Heroes of Liberty. And I want to begin today just by reading out of the Bible, out of Luke chapter number 2. This is usually referred to as the Christmas story, and I'm going to begin in verse number 8 and read down through verse number 14, and then we'll get into the subject for today. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so we read the Christmas story today, just to begin with, thinking about Heroes of Liberty. And when we think about liberty and the way we normally approach it, we think about some great military endeavor. We think about some political or religious leader, or some decisive military victory, or some heroic action. For example, looking back in the history of our nation, if we were to go back to December 25th, 1776. That was Christmas Day. And that is actually a great day in the history of our nation. Now, what happened? I'm sure there was a lot of what we think about as Christmas went about on that particular Christmas Day. I'm sure in many homes throughout our nation, the Christmas story was read by families, churches having services, special services on Christmas Day. The reading of this very passage of Scripture that I read this morning out of, by the way, this same Bible, same words. It wasn't any different 200 and some years ago as it is today. But also something that took place on December 25th, 1776, General George Washington. He took one of the greatest military risks, I guess, that has ever been taken, and that is when he crossed the Delaware with about 2,500 soldiers. They crossed the Delaware. They crossed from the shore on the Pennsylvania side to the New Jersey side. And this crossing that took place actually took place at night. It was actually on Christmas night, and it was not completed until early that next morning, about 4 or 6 a.m., somewhere around in there. But it began, of course, on Christmas Day. This took place in a snowstorm, freezing temperatures, big chunks of ice floating down the river, and of all things, took place at night. It was the conditions were so horrible that two soldiers died that very night just by the harshness of the weather and the temperatures outside. But then when they got over to the New Jersey side, after they had completed that crossing, and it took several trips back and forth to get all the troops over, to get the cannons over. They took a lot of equipment, or as much equipment as they could. Then throughout the rest of the night, there was a forced march that took 8 or 9 miles, or was 8 or 9 miles. They marched to a place called Trenton, New Jersey. And when they arrived, the attack began about 7:45 a.m. They were actually running a couple of hours behind schedule, but they attacked the Hessian mercenaries. Now, these Hessians, they were hired armies. They had been hired by the British soldiers, and they were an unmerciful group of soldiers. Everybody was afraid of them. I mean, it just struck fear into hearts to think about these mercenaries, these Hessians that had been hired by the British to come over and fight the Americans on the behalf of the British. Now, the Hessians, they were surprised. It was a surprise attack. And the thing that really helped the Americans a great deal is that the Hessians, their commander, all the way down, they were hung over. Nobody thought the Americans would launch an attack on Christmas Day. And they'd been drinking, they'd been playing cards. And actually, a farmer during the night had seen the Americans crossing, and he sent word to the Hessian commander. But the commander was playing cards and drinking, and he didn't want to be bothered. Well, he scribbled a note that said the Americans were planning an attack and they were coming, and he took the note and he stuck it in his vest pocket, and he never did read it until it was too late. And he was mortally wounded, and I cannot remember his name right off the top of my head. But as they were attending to his wounds, and they found this note from a farmer, and he said, "If I'd read the note, I wouldn't be where I am right now." So, little bit of history there, maybe that we're not familiar with. But the Americans, they surprised the Hessians. They lost four. And the Hessians, by the time the battle was over, and it only took about 90 minutes, about 24 of those had died in the battle, but 900 to 1,000 of them had surrendered and been captured, just like that. So the Americans that had launched this surprise attack on Christmas Day, it really revived them. I mean, their morale was low, and they were able to get some supplies off the Hessians, you know, spoils of war, things that they needed in that victory. And it was exactly the kind of victory that General George Washington's army needed. It's called the crossing. And maybe you've seen, I know most everybody's seen paintings, and you know, Washington's crossing the Delaware, and he's standing at the helm of the boat, you know, standing up in the boat. That's probably not how it was. That is an artist depiction. He'd have probably been huddled down with everybody else in there, but it's called the crossing. And it's referred to many times in military writings as America's first special operation. Now, there had been special operations up until that time, but this was a large-scale nighttime maneuver, surprise attack, and it really turned out in favor of the Americans. George Washington and many others gave credit to the Lord, that the Lord had blessed them to be able to go over and to win that battle. But the soldiers, what I want to get to today is talking about these soldiers. We've heard about the soldiers at Valley Forge and how that they had suffered horribly during that winter. It was only December, but they had already had a horrible, cold, bitter winter. And the soldiers were homesick, and they were not prepared. They were not supplied to be out in the weather during the middle of the winter like that. And many times you hear about these soldiers and their shoes falling off of them, many of them going barefoot. And as they marched, their feet would bleed, and they'd be bloody tracks in the snow where they'd marched along, and they're hungry, and they don't have enough food. And it's just no way to imagine the horrible suffering that our soldiers went through in order to free this country from the tyranny of Great Britain. The sacrifice, the great sacrifice that was made by those men, and not only by the men, but by the women, by the families, the children that were orphaned, the mothers that were left alone at home and try to keep the farm going and all of the things, and how much harder it was to get by. I mean, people worked to live, and I mean, just to survive. Everything they did, they had to do in order to survive through the winter. You know, they had to raise gardens, and they had to chop wood, and they had to take care of livestock and animals and make their own clothes for the most part. And you talk about sacrifice. And then all the many children that had to go to hard work early in their lives just in order that their family might survive. So it's hard for us today to imagine how much sacrifice really went into the liberating of our country from Great Britain. But just the story of Valley Forge and the soldiers and the great sacrifice maybe would give us just a little bit of an idea of what they went through. So much sacrifice. They went above and beyond the call of duty for their nation. They really believed in what they were fighting for. Now, George Washington, after that battle, shortly after that battle, the troops, many of them, their enlistment was up. They had just signed on for a certain period of time. And shortly after the crossing of the Delaware, their enlistment was up. And George Washington made a speech. He knew that many of them were planning on going home. And he said to them, he said, "My brave fellows, you have done all I ask you to do and more than could be reasonably expected. But your country is at stake. The present is emphatically the crisis which is to decide our destiny." The present, he was talking about what is going on right now, is the crisis which is to decide our destiny. how important it was that the soldiers would reenlist, not go home, stay there, and continue on the fight. That's what he was trying to encourage the soldiers, and he was asking them to do. Now, in our country today, I realize, you know, we're not at Valley Forge anymore. We have soldiers. We have men and women who are making great sacrifices in order to be away from home, serving. They are in harm's way, no doubt about that. But the suffering at Valley Forge, you know, our soldiers are not to that point of suffering. We're not there in America any longer. We have supplies, and we have, although our soldiers are in different areas of warfare around the world, it's just not like it was then. That's all I'm saying. We're not at war with the British, but we are, as a nation, at a point of crisis. Just like George Washington made the speech to the soldiers there, he said, "You've done more than could be reasonably expected, but your country is at stake. The present is emphatically the crisis, which is to decide our destiny." And in America, we are at a point of crisis. Maybe we don't realize it as much. You know, here it is Christmas time. People are going, they're shopping, they're planning, they're happy that gas is not costing them almost $4 a gallon. You know, things look, you know, we might say looking up, but there is always a point of crisis in any country that values freedom. Economically, truth be known, our nation is so indebted that it's like a house of cards. I mean, you talk about, we were reading in the paper in the past couple of weeks how the economy in Russia has taken a downturn, a fall for the worse, and where something as simple as buying a washing machine a few weeks ago, the price is doubled and tripled, and their interest rates have gone up, and just overnight. And I was reading articles about that, and the people over there said, "This has happened so fast. We didn't expect this would happen this quickly." Same thing could happen in America. Economically, we sort of have a house of cards that we are working around and with. Politically, our nation is divided. It's just as divided as it's ever been, I think. You'd think we're back in the 60s or the 70s with all the scandals daily coming out. I mean, it's just one thing after another after another. Socially, our country is in a state of upheaval. There's much division, tension, racial tension, protest all along the country, the murdering of policemen, vengeance, and all of these things. It's a terrible time as far as that is concerned in our country. Militarily speaking, morale is low. We are weak, militarily speaking, as opposed to what we were 25, 30, 40 years ago. So it may look on the surface like things are going along just fine, but there's a lot of undercurrent there that is pulling away at the foundation of our nation. And actually, we're still in a mess in our nation. But when I think about Washington, General George Washington, not like we talk about Washington, D.C., but when I think about the lessons of Valley Forge, the troops, I think about General George Washington, I think about his appeal to them. The troops, although they were suffering horribly, they did not make an appeal to George Washington to fix things, to make things better, to make it all go away. That's not how history records this. In fact, it was George Washington, he made an appeal to the troops. He went to them. He said, "I know you've done all that I've asked you. You have done more than could be reasonably expected, but your country is at stake." And George Washington made an appeal to them. And his appeal to the troops at Valley Forge was this. He said, please don't quit on me now. Please don't give up. Don't go home and just say forget about it. He said, I need you to stay. Your country is at stake. You see, George Washington, great general and leader that he was, he realized that victory for America was dependent upon people who had already gone above and beyond what could be reasonably expected. And he knew that nobody would blame them if they just packed their bags and belongings and went home and said, my enlistment is up. I mean, they were hungry. They were low on ammunition and supplies and food and clothing, and they were really, really suffering. And Congress, now if you study out what was really going on at that time, George Washington had been making appeals. He was saying, we need supplies, we need all this stuff for the army. And Congress, now you talk about history repeating itself, Congress was dragging its feet, and they were not on the ball as far as making something happen to get our troops supplied. Conditions were bad, but they could have been better if Congress would have been on the ball. So when you're in the military and you don't feel like you're getting what you need from your leadership and from the government, and you're not being supplied, and boy, you talk about, I know what it means when they say morale being low, and it's like a disease. And when the troops, when the soldiers, when the airmen, when they feel taken advantage of and not appreciated and not being taken care of like they need, I mean, there's a lot of things they need. Morale gets low. And so nobody would blame these troops if they went home. But here is what it boiled down to then and what it also boils down to now. And it boils down to this. If the good surrenders, then the evil wins. If good gives up, evil wins by default. And I think about our country, and I think about the many things that are going on in our nation. I am sure that there are a great many police officers, those that are involved in law enforcement, that really feel like quitting. I read an article this morning, and it was by a police officer, and the title of it, or the main theme of it, was just simply this. He said, I quit caring today. I quit caring about humanity. I quit caring about it was an excellent article. I reposted it to my Facebook page, but anyway, it was a great article, and it sort of sums up. And he talked about, sure, there's police officers that do not do right. You know, it might be 100 miles away and somewhere you never heard of, but it gets on Facebook. Somebody does something they shouldn't do, and you know, every one of them gets the blame. And I'm sure that there's those in law enforcement that just feel like, you know, nobody appreciates us. The government is against us. Our leaders are against us. Towns and communities are against us. Why sacrifice? Why risk my life in order to go out there each and every day? So I'm sure there's police officers and all those involved in law enforcement that just feel like sometimes, you know what, just feel like quitting. I'm sure there are those in the military, and I've been in this shape before, been in the boat of being away from family and friends at Christmas and Thanksgiving, and I'm telling you, that's hard. That's a sacrifice, but it is especially hard if you feel like you're not appreciated, if you feel like you're not being taken care of, if you feel like that nobody's going to bat for you, you might say. And then on a spiritual side, there are preachers, and this is a very common thing. A lot of people don't realize, but many pastors, they quit the ministry, and they just give up, throw in the towel. Many Christians, they quit. They say it's not worth it. Nobody's coming to church. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody cares. Why try? Why go on? Why try to make a difference? But I started out today reading in Luke chapter number 2, and I want to go back there in closing. We're thinking about Valley Forge. We're thinking about the great sacrifice there. And then we're talking about America today and those that are trying to do good. Sometimes you can just get overwhelmed and say, what is the use to try to go on? Well, we go back to the Bible, and we've already read in Luke chapter number 2, but there's a strategy here that actually comes from the Lord. What course of action do we take when evil prevails, or when you live in a day when good is called evil and evil's called good? Here's a great history lesson from the Bible. In Luke chapter 2, we read the birth announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the angel announced that a Savior would be born. And then there is an angelic choir burst upon the scene. And they say in Luke chapter 2, in verse number 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And if you know anything about the Scripture, you know anything about the Bible, the last book in the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. And in the book of Malachi, it ends with a curse. God says, "I'll come and bring a curse upon the earth." And that is how the last book in the Old Testament ends. Then between Malachi and the book of Matthew, where we find the beginning of the New Testament, we find the, how does it begin? The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with Christmas. And so we see that after those, what is called 400 silent years, God himself comes down to man, and he seeks to reestablish communication with mankind. There had been no communication from heaven for over 400 years, no prophet, no written scripture, anything like that. But now God himself comes upon the scene. That is what Christmas is all about. And the angels announce from heaven, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." I've been thinking a whole lot about that this week. God said good will toward men. God didn't come to beat mankind over the head with a stick. A lot of people have a wrong perception of the Lord, the Bible, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a believer. They've got a wrong perception of that. God didn't come to do those things. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came, and his birth announcement was peace on earth, good will toward men, not hatred, not suspicion, not division, but goodwill. God desires goodwill toward men. And what a time of the year that we ought to be capitalizing not on all the bad and negative and the hatred, and the news skews it in such a way as to cause people to be divided and just about hate one another. But you know, it's not up to the news. It's not up to the White House. It's up to me to love my neighbor and you to love your neighbor. And for us to find in this world, one towards another, through Jesus Christ, goodwill toward men. That is the message of Christmas. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." Goodwill toward men. Have a Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to come give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.